Good morning. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. Our physical church is located in Philadelphia, PA, where our pastor is Elder Jonathan Ford. And a huge welcome to everybody that's joining us via YouTube Live and Facebook Live. Please join us in a word of prayer coming to us by our sister Shanita Scott. Good morning, church. I ask that you would please bow your heads and close your eyes while you are in your home. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another Sunday to hear your word. Lord, please forgive us for taking for granted the opportunity to worship together in your house. I pray that when we are able to reunite, that we love each other differently. Not the way we want to love, the way you want us to love. I pray that believers and Christians all over the world will reunite with the common goal to speak the gospel and win souls to Christ. I pray for peace on earth today. I ask that you heal the hearts of those who are grieving. With everything that is going on in the world, we take joy in knowing that you are still in control. Lord, you are always in control. Let that be a constant reminder when we want to ask you why. Let that be a constant reminder when we don't understand. Lord, let that be a constant reminder as we face people who intend to do evil. Lord, when everything fades away, we know that your love is consistent, and we are grateful for that today. Touch every home that hears this prayer. Touch every home that hears the word today, Lord. I ask that you let the word rest on our hearts. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to have a scripture by our sister Rochelle Scott.
Good morning, church. My scripture reading today is Acts 2:1-4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
Amen.
Now I'm going to introduce to you Pastor Darrell Scott from St. Mark's Baptist Church in South Philadelphia. Say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God bless you to each and every one of you that is joining us via the social media platform. We thank God because God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And we're just so grateful today for this Pentecost Sunday, the day in which the Holy Spirit fell and the Word of God spread throughout the nation. Amen. And we thank God for you. We first want to give honor to our Pastor Ford, amen, the pastor, your pastor, but my pastor as well, of Taylor Tabernacle. Thank God for him giving us this opportunity, this platform, to herald out the word of God to First Lady Jemaine Ford. We thank God for you. Amen. And I want to give honor to my First Lady, the First Lady of St. Mark's Baptist Church, Sister Rochelle Scott, and to the First Children, say so, my daughters, Shanita and Courtney. And again, to each and every one of you out there via this social media, we are grateful. And if you have the Bibles, let us go right to the Word of God. We're going to be coming from Exodus, the 17th chapter, beginning at verse 8, all the way through and including verse 13. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, which will read as thus. It says, "Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us some men and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.' And it was so that, and it was so when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became very heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." I'm going to go back to verse 11. "And so it was when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed." For these few brief moments, I would like to talk to you from the subject, "I'm coming out with my hands up."
Amen.
I'm coming out with my hands up. Oftentimes you know that if you're a big sports fan, or any type of competitiveness, that usually people will raise their hand at the point of victory, let them know, hey, look, we've got the victory, and it's a sign of emotion that, hey, we are on the winning side. And I'm my way of going this morning is a little different, because I want to address to you, what is your position? What is your posture while you're going through? When you're going through the battle, when you're going through the test, what is your posture? Or are you going to wait till the end? But I want you to know, look here, that God's word has a set standard for us that we can have our hands raised up not only when we come out, but we can have our hands raised even when we are going in. If you look at the scripture, it says here in verse 8, it says that now Amalek came and fought against Israel. Let me stop right there. The first word that I want to get you is the word "now." Because "now" is indicating something that, okay, what happened before? If you read the scriptures, it says that when they had left the Egypt and come out into the wilderness, they were journeying even to the place where they were led to right here called Rephidim. It was God that had led them to Rephidim. And so when they got to there, the children of Israel began to complain because there was no water. It's one thing, you know, we need water, but it wasn't so much that there wasn't water, but it was the way they went about getting the water. They began to complain. If you read, the Bible says that they always wanted to stone Moses. You know, when folks get angry and upset, you got to watch your emotions. Don't get rash. Don't get upset. Don't get nervous. Watch your emotions. Remain calm, because guess what? God is in control. And so it was that the great miracle that God led Moses to, he said, "Strike the rock." And from the rock came water. Now, that's a miracle right there. How do you know, they used to say, you can't get blood from a rock. Well, guess what? You can't get water from a rock either. But when God is leading you, all things are possible. The Bible helps us to understand that with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And so the miracle of the water from the rock came. And then it comes to this point that says "now." Have you ever had a noun in your life? You just got finished one thing. You just got over one thing. Now, and guess what? Now what? Now what's going to happen? Now what's going to be the problem now? And so here in the text it says that Amalek came and fought against Israel. Let me tell you about Amalek or the Amalekites. Well, you'd be surprised to know that if you read and do your history that these were kin to Israel. These were the great-grandson of Esau. You know that Jacob and Esau were brothers, and so their descendants, they were kin folks. How many of you know that sometimes the hardest people to get along is with kin folks? Oh, you don't have to say amen. I know it's true. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes the hardest folk to get with is with tentacles. But I want you to know that even with family, guess what? Good. You're going to have problems, so you got to deal with it. And so the Bible says that as they were journeying, when they tried to go through the promised land, that Amalek wouldn't let them go through their land, so they had to go another way. So they were, okay, no strife, no harm, no foul, we'll just go another way. But now, all of a sudden, now, right now, there's a point where Amalek decides, hey, we're going to go and fight against Israel. And now I want you to look at the setting here. They came out in the wilderness of Sin and into Rephidim. Rephidim, when I looked that up, Rephidim was a wilderness for a desert land, but it was surrounded by mountains. It was surrounded by hills. The best way that I can give you an example of that is, have you ever gone up state New, upstate Pennsylvania, and you used to go through the tunnels, and there would be mountains? And so if you would just take those tunnels and just cut it out in the middle, that's what Rephidim would look like. You just have mountains on the side. So when you look on one side, you see rocks and mountains. When you look on the other side, you see rocks and mountains. It's like the old saying, they were caught between a rock and a hard place. There was nowhere for them to run up. And so Israel, being that they were multiple in number, millions in numbers, their God had settled them there. Now, the first question you ought to be asking yourself, now, Lord, you're a leader. I know you can guide us. But why in the world would you guide us to a place where there's nothing but rocks and mountains? And why would you lead us to a place where it looks like we can't go nowhere? Well, Rephidim, the word itself means a place of rest. Okay? All right, God. Look, you said it in your word that, look, you would give us rest in the time of trouble. You would give us rest when we need it. So I was expecting maybe a Marriott or a Motel 6 or something, but all right, you got us in the place of rest. But now look, when they came here, this was an opportune time for the enemy to attack. Now let's look at the word of God and what it says. It said that Amalek came and fought against Israel in Rephidim. Here we are, we're between a rock and a hard place. And so why God would lead you there? I want to give you a couple of points as to why God would lead the children of Israel, and something that I think that will help us in today's time that we're living, that we're living in today. First of all, it says one of the things you got to look here is that, you know, pastors, I don't know whether to go out or whether to stay in. I don't know whether to, if I stay in, I won't have money, I won't have anything to pay my rent. If I go out, there's a chance that I might get corona or something. So again, I'm stuck between that rock and hard place. Well, the first thing I want to ask you, my brothers and sisters, is that one, what is leading you? Is fear leading you or is faith leading you? You got to understand that's important because look here, if fear is leading you, you're going to be in torment. But if faith is leading you, guess what? You've got the trust that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all things. Just follow God. Wherever God is, and I know sometimes you ask the question, God, why did you leave me here? Lord, why am I here in this rock and hard place? I want you to know, look here, God is trying to tell you something. He's trying to tell you to trust in him. Follow him. He knows where he's going. I was looking at the Deuce at the job there. You know, every time this year, they would have their little chicks, little gooselings. I guess it would be about six of them. And the mother and the father would they would just take them in and anywhere. And there was something that I noticed about this as I was watching. Wherever the mother goose would go, the children goose would follow. And this one particular time, they were sitting in the field and looked like danger was coming, and the mother goose got up and started walking. And guess what? The baby goose did the same thing. They didn't wait. They didn't ask what was going on. They just followed. Why? Because they put their trust in their mother. And one thing about the mother will protect them. How much more will your heavenly father protect you? If God gave that instinct to the birds, how much more precious than the birds? How much more precious are we than the birds? You've got to understand that God knows everything about you, and he's going to take care of you. There's something else I just noticed in that too, in that little scenario. There's something that the mother goose has that the children goose don't have. And you know what that is? That's the ability to fly. The mother goose can fly anytime. So if there's danger coming, guess what? The mother goose will fly out of that danger, leaving the children goose alone, left to themselves. So, I want you to understand this. If God, who is all-powerful, and know your weaknesses, guess what? He's not going to leave you. You know why he's not going to leave you? Because guess what? You are his. Like those baby goose, the mother said, look, these are mine, and I'm going to protect them at all costs. So how much more will God protect you? Oh, I'm so glad. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou, you could leave me, but you didn't. You should have left me. Oh, I wish I had somebody out there. You should have left me, but guess what? You didn't leave me. Why? Because guess what? Even in the place between a rock and a hard place, thou art there. So one thing you got to ask yourself, are you following your fear? Or are you following your faith? Then the second point I want to bring out here is, look at this. They're in Rephidim, and the enemy sees, comes and attacks them. Here's my point. God has got you here to see what you see. That's right. God has got you here to see what you see. Look at this. The enemy sees them stuck between mountains. The people of Israel see themselves trapped between a mountain. But when God looks, glory to God, when God looks, what does God see? God sees what? Opportunity to show his power. Good God. He sees opportunity. See, you're looking at the wrong thing. You're looking at the enemy, and you're looking at what's on the side of you. But guess what? God is saying, look here, I see something different. Look. That's why I believe the prophet told the Lord when the young apprentice was out and all he saw was the army gathered around. He came back and said, look here, the armies are gathered around. How are we going to try? The prophet looked up and said, Lord, open his eyes. Know that God is what? When we got God, we got more for us than they got. Oh, my God. That's why I want to let you know today, church, that God is God before us. Who can be against us? So then, look. God is giving your eyesight. Look here. Look, I know what your enemy sees. The enemy sees your defeat. I know what you see. You see your entrapment. But God sees your deliverance. God sees his power. And guess what? You need to start focusing, changing your focus, and putting your eyes on the right thing. And that's God. Lord, where you lead me, I will follow. I will trust in the Lord till I die. And so we see here that God has got them between this place, between in Rephidim, between the rock and the hard place. So one, we've got to understand, what are you following, your faith or your fear? Secondly, what do you see? And then thirdly, I want to bring this out because I saw it right here. Look at verse 10. It says that, so Joshua did, well, rather, let me go back to verse 9. Look at this, verse 9. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men, go out and fight with Amalek. Did you get that? Choose you some men, go out and fight against Amalek. Here's what I want you to see. God has got you equipped for what you haven't prepared for. God has got you equipped with what you haven't prepared for. What am I talking about? You got to understand that now when Israel is on this journey and when they come here, they didn't have no military might. They were not a military army. They came straight from slavery all the way to where they are now. So they didn't have time to prepare for men to fight in battle. But you do know what they had? They had the Lord on their side. Do you know what they had? They had the will. There was stuff in them that they didn't know that came out in the time they were in. I came to let you know, men and women of God, God has got us in this place because there's some stuff that's in us that, look, we ain't prepared for, but guess what? We are equipped for it. Look, I know you haven't prayed for an hour before. Look, but guess what? You know how to pray. Maybe you haven't witnessed to somebody before. Look, I witnessed to two people, twice a month, but now that we're in this pandemic, you're witnessing to everybody. Look, it was already in you. You just needed something to bring it out. God's got you between this rock and hard place because he's ready to bring out what he put in you. Look, I don't have time to prepare. I don't have time to practice. But at the time, I've got to know that God is able, hallelujah, to do Oh my God, my God. I wish I could have somebody shout with me. God is bringing it out right now. So guess what? You're here between repentance, between the rock, and between the heartbreak, and God is bringing stuff out of you. And here's the other thing. Oh my God, I'm getting happy. I know what I got to look. But here's the other thing that's important. Now remember, what are you following? Your fear and your faith. That's why you're repenting. Secondly, here you go. What do you see? Check your vision. Thirdly, here you go. He's bringing stuff out of you that you didn't know why you're in repenting. But why he's bringing all this other stuff out, what's the other point, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. Look at verse number 10. Or rather, excuse me, look at verse number 9. Now he tells Joshua, go choose men. They're there. They're there. Choose men. But look at this. He says, tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. There it is, church. There it is. You got it. You got it. What point are you bringing out, Pastor? You're going through this because after he brings out stuff that's in you, look what Moses said. He's going to the top of the hill. God, write this down or make a mental note. God is positioning you for your victory. God is, look, what did Moses say? Moses said, Joshua, while you go down there and bring stuff out, I want to position myself. So guess what? When it's time, I'm ready. Good God Almighty. See, look. You got to understand that with God, he does everything he uses is important. And positioning. You might have been out of position pre-COVID. But now he's putting you in position while you're in COVID-19. So he's putting you there. So guess what? Moses said, I'm going to go up and be positioned. Let me move on. I hear my Uber driver calling me. I got to go. But look here. The Bible says that when Moses took his position. Let me tell you something, church. I'm turning it off there. But look here. God is positioning you. So get in position. Stop fussing. Stop complaining. Stop arguing. Get in position. Because through this, God, when he brings you out, you already will be in position. Here we go. The Bible says, and this is where I get excited. The Bible says that when Moses went to the top of the mountain, he went with the rod of God in his hand. In other words, he remembered. You are, wait a minute, that rod in my hand. Oh, I think I remember the last time I used that. The enemy was still after us, and there was water in front of us, a river in front, and he looked, Moses raised his hand, put the rod, there he go, raising that hand again. I'm coming out. And guess what? They were delivered through the raising of his hand. Look at the strategy of God. Can I just say this for a moment? Sometimes God has some strange strategy. You know why God has some strange strategy? One, he don't want you to do it in your power and in your might. Because guess what? You'll get conceited. You'll start to say, oh, I did this. Oh, it's my education. Oh, it's my background. Oh, it's my this and my that. And look here, and God gets the glory. Not realizing that if what you got now, God gave it to you, and you wouldn't have it unless he gave it to you. But he sometimes put us in some strange strategy because he's about to give the glory. Why in the world would Moses go up to the top? Look where he's at. He's at the mountain. God dwelleth in the mountain. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so he said, look here, let me go up. And when I go up, I'm going to raise my hand. And the Bible says that when Moses lifted up his hands, glory to God, the Bible says that Israel was winning. Do I see that? It's right there in the scripture. It's right here. It says, verse 7, and so when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. But when Moses let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Okay, there's that connection. Stay connected. Oh, that's a sermon like this. Stay connected. Because look here. His hands got tired. But look at verse 12 again. It says, and Moses' hand became tired. And so they took stones and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. And his hands were steady until the going down. Here's a point I want to bring out to you. I like what the scripture said. It said support. When his hands went down, he had support. Why is that important? Because you need to get around people. When you got your vision, they're not going to argue with you. They're not going to be questioning you. I don't need you to do that. I asking Peter to support me. If God gave it to me, don't question it. Just support. We are living in the day and time of people, they got to have everything explained. There are some things that look at you might not get explained, but you just got to trust God. Oh, there's an old song saying, you can't hurry God. You got to trust him. You got to give him time. And guess what? What you need is people to support you. Look here, I know a pastor, you know, you know how it is. You got a vision from God. You need your elders to support you. One get on one side, one get on the other. Look, we may not understand, but guess what? If God is leading us, all we got to do is get in line. Get positioned. Glory to God. Get positioned for the victory. Get positioned for your deliverance. Get positioned because God is getting ready to do something. And the Bible says, that when his hands, as he began to lift up his hands, guess what? They prevailed.
Amen.
And the Bible even says here that so that Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Oh, I'm about to finish my little Easter piece right here. But here you understand that God delivered them. Because guess what? Moses had support. Moses had his hands lifted up. He did what God told him to do. And guess what? When you do that, you're going to have the victory. I came to conclude. Let me conclude this. You all know that one of my favorite TV shows is professional wrestling. And I love wrestling. And Pastor Ford, you know it. And I think you love it too. But you might not want to admit it. But that's all right. But anyway, in certain matches, when you have two good opponents, one opponent will put a move on the other opponent, and it's called the sleeper hold. So when the guy put the sleeper hold on his opponent, the other guy, he can't do nothing. He tries to struggle and, you know, wiggle his way out, but he can't do anything. So the next thing you know, the sleeper hold is still applied, and the wrestler goes down to his knees on the mat. Then the next thing you know, he goes down on the mat with his whole body. It is then, listen, it is then, one, the match is not over. We can't say that the match is over. But it is then that the referee will go and lift up the man, the wrestler who's on the ground. He'll lift up his hand. And he'll lift up his hand, and as he lifts up his hand, he'll let it go. And before you know it, his hand will drop. And the referee will say, one. He'll turn to the bellkeeper and say, one. The referee will go and lift up his hands again. And it'll drop. And the referee will say, two. But then he got to raise it one more time. He got to raise it for the third time. Y'all gonna get this. Y'all gonna get this. The referee has to raise his hand for the third time, because guess what? Victory or defeat rests on his response on the third time.
Amen.
And so what happened? He'll raise it, and then all of a sudden the hand will come down, and before my hand hits the ground, that vessel will start shaking. That vessel will start giving his strength inside of him. And all of a sudden that hand will go back up. And that is him. I mean, look here. Referee, this, I'm not over. I'm not done. My hand is still up. I can still fight on. Why? Because there's something inside of me. Now, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying here. You're saying, Pastor Scott, that stuff is scripted. Well, if it is scripted and you want to bust my bubble, let me bust your bubble. I came to let you know this morning that your victory and your deliverance, it's also scripture.
Amen.
The Bible says, oh my God, the Bible says, Jesus said, the Pharisees said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me. You got to look at the scriptures. You got to look at what's written in the script. I believe it says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, he says, thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory. That's already scripted. Listen, that's already in the script. You got the victory because God is the overcomer.
Yes.
Thanks be to God who's given us the victory. Because guess what? We got the victory way. It was back on Calvary. face ahead. Well, let me go to the scriptures and tell you that on one Friday evening, they took our Lord and Savior. They nailed his feet to the cross. And then they took his hands and they nailed his hands to the cross. And his hands was lifted up. So that guess what? That when we come to the cross, we see the lifted hands. I'm not looking for your hand. I'm not looking for your hand. But I'm looking to the hand of God. I'm looking to the hand of Jesus who died. He hung and died. And then on the third day, my God, on the third day he got up and said, all power is given unto me. It's in my hand. I come to let you know, this scripture, all you got to do is trust in the living God. All you got to do is put your hand. Oh, I'm reminded. Oh, thank you, Matriarch. Matriarch used to sing a song. She used to sing a song and say, put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the waters. Put your hand in the hand of a man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself. You'll look at others quite differently. Put your hand in the hand of a man from Galilee. You know why? Because there, you're coming out with your hands up. I came to let you know that today we're coming out with your hands up. And I want you to know, I would be a bad preacher if I didn't do it in the proper context. See, you might think it's just personal, but if you look at the context, when Moses lifted up his hands, everybody got delivered. And I came to let you know, when you lift up your hands, people who are connected with you are going to get delivered as well. Your family's coming out. Your children's coming out. Your loved ones coming out. People on the job. Why? Because guess what? You're coming out. Put your hands up and watch this. Here it is, and I'm done. Here it is. The whole essence of this message is how you went in is how you're going to come out. Look at the text. The text says Moses positioned himself, and when the battle started, he lifted up his hands. And when it was over, he still had his hands raised up. He got the victory because he lifted. He came out with his hands up. That's my message for you today, church. No matter what you're going through, don't worry about this pandemic. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what's going on. You're coming out with your hands up. Give God praise right here. Amen. 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 At this time, this is our altar call. For some of you, you're saying, you know what? Pastor, that's good. But somehow, I'm weighted down with something because I can't raise my hands. Can I let you know there's another point that you raise your hand? And that's when the authorities are after you. If you committed a crime, the law is after you. And if they got you, they say, come out with your hands up. And you might not want to commit the crime. You might have, you're just in a bad place. There are some who are lawbreakers, but then there are some who are not. But guess what? I can let you know, even now, if you're in sin, you can still come out with your hands up. Because guess what? What the law could not do, Christ came. And so sin condemned sin in the flesh. You don't have to live in sin. You can come out and say, Lord, here I am. So if you're there today, you have not accepted Christ, lift those hands. It says Romans 10:9 and 10. Some of y'all should have got that. Romans 10:9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Keep your hands up. For with the heart man believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession it's made unto salvation. If you said that, if you confess, Lord, I confess I'm a sinner. Lord, I confess you're my Savior. I accept you as Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Remember that our deacons are standing by. If you prayed that prayer, please contact our deacons. They're standing by to assist you. Along our number by texting also. Taylor 61, our phone number. 215. Amen. 748-4578. God bless you. Bear with me.
Amen. Now is the time for giving. So thank you for joining us on our broadcast today. If you would like to support this ministry through offering and tithes, I'm going to tell you how to do that. So you can go to our website at taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions online. You may also, if you need to mail a check, you may also mail it to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA, 19131. Sorry, 19139. And the last one, if you would like to give by text, you can text the code TAYLOR61, no space, to the phone number 73256. Again, that number is 73256. And you can give by texting TAYLOR61. And once you complete that, your donation will be complete. If you have any difficulty or assistance or questions and need assistance, please visit our website. Now we're going to have the benediction by our pastor. Yeah.
God bless you. Thank God for each and every one of you. We just want to say that in this time we realize that we're going through a crisis, a pandemic, and also we're facing some injustice in our country. But we're asking everyone, as we are able to express ourselves, let's do it in a peaceful way. Let's do it in a way that our rights are not violated, because we don't want the message and the focus to be drowned out. And also on this afternoon, Pastor Ford, along with myself, ministers and members of council, at 1:30 will be at a news conference at Christian Compassion. We are going to address our cities and let them know that there is a better way, and that way is through peaceful means. So continue to pray. Pray for our city. Pray for our nation. Because guess what, church? We are positioned. And we want to come out of this. And you know how we want to come out? We want to come out with our hands up. God bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.